We're pleased to announce that this episode of the Talking Wolves podcast is sponsored by Greene King Sport, where football is more than a game. Greene King Sport venues are showing every single one of Wolves' televised fixtures across the 23-24 season. And with over 900 sports pubs based in the UK, it doesn't matter where you are, you can watch every minute of the action. If you download the Greene King Sport app, you can grab 10% off drinks whenever there's a football match on. But also, this month, there's thousands of pints of free Guinness to be won and the chance to win one of six holidays as well.
Hello and welcome back to the Talking Wolves podcast. I am back. I've missed the last couple of weeks. I was ill and then I was working away in London. If anyone had to travel down to London from Birmingham last Monday to Wednesday, you'll realise how much of a, it was awful. Apparently like a landslide, so it took me way longer than it should have. So I wasn't able to do the podcast. But it's another quiet one this week. I've joined alongside Dave as a party. Dave, no Jord, no Finn, but the mates are back, so that's all that matters.
Exactly, mate, yeah. I enjoyed it last couple of weeks, to be fair. Obviously missed you, missed a couple of people there, disappointed with the lack of banter, I think, over the last couple of weeks. So I have to make sure we can make up for it this week.
No footballing knowledge from me, just banter. So, yeah. We've all got our part to play. But I believe Jordy's may or may not have set off for his wedding.
Yeah, he has. Antigua, yeah. Finn's at ABBA or something. I can't remember what he said.
Finn's done his quarterly appearance, so he's out of it. But I feel like today, you've rearranged your fringe a little bit now, Dave, but I feel like we were sporting similar fringes, quite Karen-esque.
Don't know if I can do mine. There you go.
Yeah, I could do it with a trim as well, but what a week.
I've had a trim. I've got the trim. It's just I haven't put any gel in it today.
Your sister cuts your hair, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Does she? She's still got that Labrador?
What?
And that white stick. It's all right, mate. It's all right. It's not that bad. When you haven't finished, son.
Yeah.
Hey, you call that the council. Do you do it with a knife and fork? But yeah, what a week, man. What a week. After the disappointment at Brentford at home, which it felt like the end of the world for me. I was fuming at that performance. To go to Spurs, Dave, we wanted a reaction, but this team just keeps surprising us.
Yeah, I think I said it at the end of the Brentford reaction or review video. I said, well, it'd be sod's law that we go and do Spurs now next week. And it was fantastic. The level of performance was so much better. I think it does help that, obviously, with us being away from home and Spurs be, going to have a lot of the ball and under Postecoglou, a really, high defensive line, that was going to suit us because of how we play and as a counter-attacking team. But I thought the press and just every element of our performance was brilliant. And the level of away performances really pretty much since after Christmas have been fantastic, really. So really good way to react and obviously a fantastic 3 points as well.
Yeah, we were hopeless at away from home for quite some time, it felt like, but really strong at home. But it seems like, why can't we just have both? Yeah. It feels like the home form has suffered a little bit. Lost to Brentford, lost to United. I know there's only, two out of the last few, but I'm hoping that... I'm hoping they haven't swapped places. Saying that, it'll make away days a lot more fun for people. Must have been some day down in London for all those who have visited. But it seems like Spurs is a bit of a playground since we've come up, mate. I think have we lost there once, maybe? The new stadium,
twice, I think. But we've had really good
one in lockdown.
Yeah. But then obviously, since we've come up, obviously we beat them at Wembley as well. So we've had some good moments there. I think it was at a stage where they were coming to Molineux and beating us at Molineux. We were beating them at their place, but we've sort of switched that round now. I think we've beaten them, or we have beaten them three games on the bounce. I think we beat them under Lopetegui at Molineux, obviously Gary O'Neill at Molineux, and this win as well. So we've got decent form against them, but they have been very good this season. So not an easy game, and we should never have taken it for granted, but a top performance and a fully deserved win, I think.
Yeah, I think the reverse fixture, they had quite a few injuries. They had two key injuries in this game in Adoghi and Porro, which those two are pretty integral as to how they play and build up. Well, obviously we had Cunha missing as well, which is probably been our best player over the last couple of months. But Dave, I think Wolves went there and almost the way that Spurs played was perfect for Wolves. Wolves could contain Spurs, hit on the break. It was just, apart from a couple of errors, which we'll come on to, I thought it was near enough, Dave, the perfect performance.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, like I said, the way that we pressed, the way that we created opportunities, I think could have got to a point somewhere where we may have regretted some of the opportunities that we did miss, because we created some really good clear-cut opportunities. But the way, you know, every sort of department of our squad, the forwards, the central midfield too, which I'm sure we'll talk about a lot, and the defence as well, and even Jose Sarr, you know, they played their part on Saturday, did what we had to do, and ultimately it was a top performance. But like you've said, the way that Spurs played into our hands, because we're so quick on the break, we press well, we counter-attack well, and it was perfect for us on Saturday.
Sorry, mate. I thought my mic had slipped out then.
No, that's right.
Happens to the best of us. to be fair, I thought that with Porro and Adoghi out, that Maddison would be the one who makes it happen for Spurs. He's been, since he come back from injury, hasn't played as well. But I know before the injury, mate, he was in fantastic form. And he is a fine player. But Gomez and Lamina did an absolute job on Maddison. As soon as he got the ball, either Gomez or Lamina was up his arse. I think at half-time, even when he went for a piss, Gomez was in the cubicle next to him. He just didn't give him a second to turn and run at Wolves and thread a pass. But even though Spurs had that midfield three, Dave, it felt like there was two Laminas and two Gomez. The energy that they gave us is, for me, one of the biggest reasons why we won that match.
Yeah, Gomez was phenomenal, I thought, and obviously Lamina as well. I think with Mario Lamina, obviously since his sort of absence from the team, around that sort of Christmas time, early January, he's had some good moments and good games, but there's been also some games where I felt he's been a little bit slow and probably not quite up to speed. But I thought he was much, much better at the weekend. And João Gomez as well. You know, I think it's crazy the fact that how well Tommy Doyle has played, again, in the absence of both of those, with the suspension of Gomez as well. And still those two are just going to, you know, going to continue in this team, I think, for the time being. I think there will be certain situations where Tommy Doyle's still going to get plenty of football. But those two, you know, we talked about for so long how we needed more physicality in our midfield, and how good João Moutinho and Ruben Neves were. But we never quite had that bite in the midfield. And I think that's what Lamina and João Gomez have added. And both of them are adding goals as well. I don't know off the top of my head, but obviously two for João Gomez. Lamina's got three or four, I think, this season. Yeah. You know, six goals there. If you, I know Neves was on penalties and so on, but João Moutinho and Neves weren't adding that sort of threat. And I know the slightly different roles, but brilliant. They're absolutely everywhere. For João Gomez first half, it was once or twice where I felt his choice or weight of pass could have just been a little bit better. Yeah. We more than made up for that with both goals as well.
Yeah, but I think those instances that you're on about. As if the final ball is better, then Wolves are away. Mm-hmm. So you only need to get it right once, but you would expect him to get it, you know, right a few more times. But he did. He did for the second goal, which we'll come on to. But Wang had that chance in the first half that he should have scored, probably a little bit flat-footed. But Sarabia, mate, with another assist, quietly going about, having a fantastic season for Wolves, considering that he'd been brought in from the cold from Gary O'Neill. I'd put an Instagram post up about not playing. The fact that most Wolves fans, and I know on this podcast, especially probably Jordan more so than me, of saying he's a quality player, you can see that. It really feels like ever since Sarabia come into the team or has had more of a pivotal role in the team, then the performances and the goal tallies increased. How many assists is that now? Is it maybe 7 or 8 in all competitions?
He's up there, I think. I can very quickly have a look. But I think he's up there with towards Neto's numbers. Obviously, Neto added another one. With the second one as well. According to Transfer Mart, he's got 9 in all comps. He got three in the EFL Cup, but six still in the league. So 6 goals and two goals, sorry, and 6 assists is really not bad at all.
Mm. It was a great delivery as well for the corner. I'm not sure what the Spurs are defending is doing, but it's a free header, right? But it's still a quite difficult chance to take. And I think Gomez took it exceptionally.
Yeah, I think Joe Gomez is probably the smallest player in that box as well. But I think the quality of the header and the direction of that header was bang on, really. So, no, really, really good goal. And perfect. We fully deserve that to go in at half-time ahead as well. Fully deserve that with the chances it created, the way that we frustrated Spurs. And just great, you know, Joe Gomez, two goals. He only scored once before in a Wolves shirt, which was obviously the Southampton win. So for him to grab another two. And it was interesting, I felt, because we see it a lot where João Gomez would sit and Lamina would be the one that's sort of running into the box late. And it was almost, it was almost the opposite. I felt on Saturday, João Gomez had the legs. And you saw, I think, we'll come on to it with the second goal as well. But the way he timed his run was and followed the move into the box was really good, really intelligent as well. And, you know, there's still areas of his game that he's going to improve, but I think we mentioned it a few weeks ago. I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see Wolves fielding a few inquiries for him in the summer.
He's so tenacious as well, isn't he? I mean, sometimes he rides his luck a little bit in terms of how many fouls he's making. But he's him and Lamina are so tenacious and allows Wolves to play on that front foot, catching teams out in transition. And it's led to so many goals. I mean, it led to the second, but I thought Wolves were more than good value for the lead in the first half, mate. So I was a little bit disappointed when they come out for the second half and concede such a sloppy goal. Now, this one's divided opinion, really, Dave, from what I've seen on Twitter. Some people blame Saar, some people blame Dawson, some people blame both of them. Where do you stand on it?
I think it's quite harsh to blame Saar. In my opinion, I think. Firstly, I was disappointed with how cheaply we gave away the ball from our own kickoff, to be honest. I think, obviously, the sort of the ball had gone out before the goal itself down in our end. But the fact that we've got a kickoff and 20 seconds later, we're defending a throw-in in deep into our final third is a little bit frustrating. But yeah, far too easy for Kulusevski. I think Dawson will be really, really disappointed with how he was turned. I felt he had a very good game other than that, to be honest. And I just think it's a good finish. I don't know. I can't really see where you can pinpoint the blame on Saar for that, if I'm completely honest. If you have to blame someone, I think it's going to be Dawson.
Yeah. O'Neill said in his post-match press conference, the thing that, and he basically echoed what we said, it was pretty much the perfect performance apart from them being able to play into a forward player so easy after throwing, which he said is similar to what happened at the United game. For me, and you know, it's not goalkeepers union for me. I'm always going in on the goalkeeper. You always say, like, how can you say you blame the keeper there? I'm so harsh on goalkeepers, but in this instance, I don't think you can blame the keeper. Mate, if he gets beat at his near post, he'll say, oh, he should have saved it, but he's put it through his legs. For me, it's on Dawson. It looked a bit like a tired tackle, even though it was only just kicked off. Like, he looked a little bit stiff. But you're right in what you said there, Dave. Look, he was at fault for that goal, but I thought, on the whole, he defended the area fantastically throughout the game.
Yeah, I felt, you know, the frustrating thing with the goal at the time was that we've been so good in this first half, but we've just given them a huge opportunity now.
The timing as well of it.
Yeah, for another 45 plus minutes to go and get another goal themselves. You know, they had a lot of momentum at that point as well. So, you know, credit to Wolves for sort of standing firm. And the defence had to do that a lot. I think if you look at the expected goals and so on, Wolves still had much better expected goals than Spurs. But we still had to defend. There were a lot of balls coming into the area, which Dawson and co had to defend quite well. Saar was forced to make one or two decent stops. So defensively, again, there have been a couple of performances like that as well, where we can sit deep and we can frustrate teams. And, you know, if we're allowed to play the way that we want to play, then, you know, there's a chance that Wolves are going to, you know, continue scoring goals and continue getting some fantastic wins.
I don't think there's there's many teams in the league who are better at Wolves at defending their area. I thought Totti had a fantastic game. Even Semedo, mate,
was class.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're in for a tough game when you come up against Son anyway, but he more than did a number on him, but also going forward, mate, he was such a big part of that. Wolves' counter-attacking threat. That ball he played through for Sarabia as well. He should be scoring that. But my word, like, these are the things that I think if anyone could be critical of Semedo over the couple of years, it's up the other end. And I feel like he's criminally underrated. But that sort of performance goes towards shutting the doubters up, in my opinion. Sarabia's got to score that, innit?
It's a show the goalkeeper, isn't it? Yeah. Anywhere else, and it's 2-1. It would have been a great assist, like you said. But I felt Semedo was brilliant, really, really good.
It was very similar to the goal they scored against City. You know, Huang's goal where he put the ball in for Cunha.
Yeah.
Very similar run, but he's such a threat that in those positions. But I don't really get the stick, if I'm honest. I don't really get why people don't rate him.
No, I don't know. I think obviously we were so used to Doc in regards to him, the scoring the goals and so on. And Semedo was never ever replicated that. You know, you can't deny that. But still, I think he still offers something going forward. I think, you know, you look at that, for instance, you've put that on a plate for Cunha or maybe, you know, Neto or whoever. I think, you know, we go 2-1
up. That on a plate for Doc, mate, more like.
Yeah, 2-1 up and he's got an assist to his name. But in the defensive side of things, Semedo's brilliant and really, really underrated. Neutral sort of hipster football fans will never, ever rate Semedo because he had one crap game against Bayern Munich for Barca. Wolves fans may point out the game against Brighton when Mitoma cooked him. Fair enough. But if you don't go to work and have a crap day once in a while, then, you know, I don't think you're human anyway. So I think, you know, 7 or 8 games out of 10, Semedo's very decent. So.
Yeah, I think he's been brilliant this season. And I think if you took him out of the team, mate, you'd notice a massive difference.
Well, we have done anyway, haven't you? You know, when you put Doc in there, and when Aitnori is out of the team, we've had to put Doc there or Bueno there. Yeah. It's a massive difference. Those two are huge and so pivotal to the way that Wolves play at the moment.
Because they're so safe in possession as well. Like, I think people don't give Semedo enough credit in terms of, like, how good he's on the ball in terms of retaining the ball. He never really ever gives the ball away, even in tight spaces. He always uses his body well to cover a player. So I think just a bit of respect for him. It'd be interesting to see what they do with him at the end of the season, though. Because he'll have a year left on his deal, won't he?
I think he's got
some serious dough.
Wouldn't surprise me if he signs a new deal. I know we've had this conversation before, but for now, I think he'll cost a lot of money to replace him.
Sometimes it's better the devil you know as well, mate, with stuff like this.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. His legs haven't gone or anything like that. You know, he's not, touch wood, he's not very injury prone. So,
whose would you touch it? Yeah. Sounds really hard. What is he, 30, 31? 29, 30? It's around about that.
George got Craig Dawson's age badly wrong last week. Apparently said he was 36.
36 now. Yeah. I've not listened to the podcast back, but I'm saying for Craig Dawson, he's 33.
Yeah, he's 33, yeah. Semedo's 30. He turns 31 late at the end of the year. Yeah. Still a few years left in him, IMO.
Definitely. Let's talk about that second, Dave, because I'm of the opinion now that there is nothing you can do to stop Pedro Neto in that situation. He's unstoppable. I think in terms of breaking and actually producing at the other end, I don't think there's a better player in the league right now. And maybe people will tell me otherwise, better at that than Neto. He's unstoppable. To have the energy to cut back and the composure and then to find that pass. I think if you can probably criticise Neto for anything, it's sometimes at the final ball isn't good, or his shooting is a little bit, his finishing could be better. But I feel the last few weeks since he's come back, some of the balls he's been putting into the box have been fantastic. It's just a shame that no one's been in there to finish them off. But to run the length of the pitch, to absolutely tear Royal a new arsehole, and then to cut back, hold him off, the composure to playing Joao Gomez, mate, oh, it's just unbelievable. It was, if you could sum up like Wolves in a goal, that would be it.
I think the composure and the consistency of Neto in front of goal has improved a hell of a lot this year. But there were certain times where he was almost he's just not thinking about it before he was hitting the ball in regards to shoot. Or sometimes he was thinking, but sort of overthinking or had too much time. Whereas in these moments, there was another game that I was thinking of. I think it was the Chelsea game where he gets the ball and he almost like doesn't even need to look up. He just knows where Cunha is. And I think this was a similar sort of thing. Probably one of the longest one distance for a 1-2 that you'll see all season, especially ending in the goal. Because I think João Gomes was the one that started the move. Neto goes down the line. And I can't remember if it was Wolves where I was watching Match of the Day. They just sort of showed the angle from behind. And Gomes is never at full pace. He's just sort of a decent pace jog up the pitch, almost just following in the action behind. And as soon as he knows Neto's got the ball, and as he turns Emerson Royale, he gets that jog on the edge of the air. And not nice finish as well. You know, sometimes it's not easy. It's so easy to get your foot under those and it ends up going over the bar. So
yeah,
Gomes has done really, really well with that. But that assist is just phenomenal again. And it just doesn't cease to amaze me with Neto anymore. It's just so, so good.
The thing that kind of bugs me a little bit, like you see people such as, I know we spoke, I listened to Express and Star podcast, the likes of Liam Keane and Tim Spears, who was on the one previous, talking about him going for about 60 million. But then I watch a performance like that and think, yes, he's had trouble with injuries in the past, but oh, he's got to be worth more than that. When is that effective?
Well, I don't think people realise he's got like 5 years worth of Premier League experience as well. And he's always had, when you watch him, he's always had that quality. Even when he was a kid.
I disagree. When he first come in, and I'm very wrong.
I do remember that, yeah.
I was just like, I'm not sure what he does, but I suppose that's...
I think he's very, very raw. I think it took him a good 2 years to get up to pace, but you could see there was something there. But now he's just showing it on a much more consistent basis and being much more ruthless in front of goal, whether that's him sticking the ball in the back of the net or laying it off to somebody to do the job for him. But
he was meant to go to Benfica into the Wolves, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mendes had said that recently, hadn't he? So I think
Mendes also said he should have gone for 100 million. But this is the best, and for Wolves, it's the right time to sell him because he's probably never going to get the same of what they'd get now. But I just think he's worth more than that, and with so many clubs to be rumoured and interested in him, like it makes more sense if there's only one club who's really keen. But I think he improves City. I think he improves Arsenal. I think he definitely improves Spurs, but I don't think he'd want to go there. So there's three teams. Two have already seem to be really keen on him.
I think it depends a lot on how he finishes the season. Like if he can continue the season, he's on 9 assists now. If he gets up to, you know, a few more goals and close to 15 assists, he'll probably have the most assists in the league. That's when you have the discussion of probably closer to £80 million. I think you're restricted just that little bit if Wolves don't get, and I say if, it's a big if Wolves don't get into European football, which I don't think we will, personally.
So
you're sort of restricted a little bit because you've got a player that is desperate to go and play and deserves, you know, rightly deserves to play at a much higher level. So that probably restricts Wolves a little bit. And you've got the Jorge Mendes tax on top of that. So I think you could personally get over 70 million, between 70 and 80 million.
I think so too. That'd
be like ridiculous. That's like almost double our transfer sale record. And that will give Wolves a lot of flexibility in the market. Not to say we're going to spunk all 80 million of it if we get that, but you know, it'll give you a lot more to play with anyway.
I think the transfer budget will be, I suppose it's similar for most clubs, but probably definitely more in our case, will be dependent on how much we raise through player sales. I think
100% now.
If none of them go, I can't see him really spending, if I'm honest. But
what do you think in the summer? If Neto goes, you've got a lot of fringe players. There might be a question about this as well. I don't know. You could say Sasha, but I don't. We'll chat about that later. Guedes, Fabio.
He's doing all right at Villarreal, but it's whether they...
Yeah, well, not even necessarily then, but even if you get... I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to put values on all of them, but Guedes, Fabio, Luke Kundal... you know, there's a few players there where Wolves could easily probably raise another on top of Neto, another 40 to 50 million pounds. So, you know, and you've got players out on loan that are almost ready-made squad players. Mosquera will come back. Chiquinho could possibly come back and be, you know, a squad player as well with how he's doing. So
the Guedes one's interesting because if he's doing all right at Villarreal, if they're looking at it from a purely profit and sustainability point of view, I'd have to do the maths properly. But if they were to sell him for anything over, I think 16 and a half, 17 million, 16 yeah. million maybe, they'd go down as a profit. So because of the amortization. Mm. So they may be just looking at that of, look, we're going to have to make a loss on the actual fee for what we brought him in. But if we can get something around that mark, then from a profit and sustainability point of view, it would go down as a profit on the balance sheet. So I think they cut the losses with him. I think they cut the losses with a couple of them. I think Fabio's doing all right at Rangers, but again, how much money are you going to make on him?
Yeah, I'm sure there's some players. Obviously, there's Pedence as well. He's not going to get you tens of millions, but he'll get you an okay amount. And there's a lot of fringe players, even players like Keanu Hoover. I don't think he's been unbelievable at Stoke, but you bring him in and make him a squad player, or you get rid of him and definitely making the loss on him as it stands. But, you know, with us playing with this back five again, could be an option for Gary O'Neill to have a look at in the summer. So there's money there. You know, there's money for Wolves to play with. It's just really the big players. You, Pedro Neto's, like I said earlier, if you're going to start fielding inquiries, and you're not going to actively look to sell them, but if you are going to get inquiries for the likes of João Gomes or whoever else, you know, it'll be interesting. Huang as well. Huang's had a lot of interest in him. So, and again, I think, like you said, with Neto, there's possibly in the summer, possibly a discussion to be had if someone is offering big money on Huang, because I don't think he'll be able to, again, he's been injured for a little bit, but I don't think he'll have the season that he's had so far again, if I'm honest.
As long as you keep all the Cunha, I'll be happy.
Yep.
Personally. But yeah, I mean, the run from Gomez is great for the goal. To be fair, a lot of the Spurs players ran towards the ball and it just kind of like ghosted him, didn't they? Pretty poor defending, really. It's a little bit naive, but yeah, like you said, Dave, it's quite often you see those ballooned over the bar. So yeah, a fantastic performance all round, Dave. And it just feels nice to finally feel like there's a bond between the playing staff, the coaching staff and the fans, because that's been missing for years now since Nuno left. And I feel like we're nearly there in terms of rebuilding those bridges.
No, 100%. I think the players get it. Gary O'Neill definitely gets it. I think it does help a little bit when you've got, you know, certain cultures of managers, but like, you know, Bruno Lage never got it. Lopetegui, there was spells of it, but then I think he just started to wind people up a little bit, especially obviously at the end of his tenure was just strange. But Gary O'Neill is getting it. And I think the thing that weirdly works in his favour is that no one expected him to be doing as well as he has been so far. So he's got even more support because of that. But I think he's genuinely put together a team of coaching staff and people around him that understand football and actually get football. You know, he's got this group of players that, you know, a lot of young players, but want to win football matches and want to go places. And whether they excel at Wolves or at other clubs, I think they'll always remember this, you know, this season, because it's been good for the club on and off the field, really.
Yeah. Some say they got a bit lucky with it. But then you don't know what the process was, do you? There could have been loads of candidates. I know Lee Carsley was looked at, wasn't it?
Yeah, Carsley, Lampard. I don't think any of them would have had this impact that he's had, to be honest. So, well, you never know. Michael Beale sacked at Sunderland today, 18 months ago, could have been Wolves manager.
Mate, I was really excited at the thought of Michael Beale as a Wolves manager, because he was, you know, held as in high esteem as a coach, but he's gone awful for him, hasn't he?
I think
you see him at the weekend.
Yeah, I think when I saw that, I knew that his time was limited at Sunderland. I think he's going to have to go back to coaching, to be honest. There's a lot of people like that. Bruno Lage, no doubt he'll still stay in management because he's had a couple of decent-sized jobs. But very, very good coach. But when you're the man at the top, it's a different level, really.
Yeah, Beale was obviously quite a disingenuous character, and I think that's showing at the weekend as well, and not even giving a little tap on the hand to his player, one of his better players as well. But we're in a much better position now, thankfully, than when we were then. So Sheffield United versus Wolves, Dave, on Sunday, 1:30 kickoff. Any reason why it is 1:30 kickoff? Seems a bit strange.
That's quite early, isn't it, for a Sunday?
Yeah, yeah. Normally the 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock, aren't they?
Maybe.
Is anything to do with the Winter Cup final? Is that Sunday, the Carabao Cup?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I think it is. So the Carabao's at 3 o'clock. So, yeah, it's because of that. So we're the only Prem game on Sunday, actually. So, yeah, it's because of the Cup game.
Yeah. You know what happens here, don't you, Dave?
Oh, yeah, I know. I know, 100%.
I've seen this film too many times and I really don't like the ending.
I'm sure our form against them at home isn't great either. I can remember us when the last time they went down, we dropped points against them. That was before COVID, though, I think.
They are then, absolutely awful.
I think they're going to... It's going to be hard because they're going to park the bus, aren't they, really? And stink the place out, but... I don't know. I haven't been able to watch a hell of a lot of football. So the last couple of games, I think the Villa game, they got smashed. This game, I've not watched anything, not even watched highlights. I saw Holgate's tackle yesterday, which was horrific. But I've not watched anything else of them really. So I don't even know how they set up and play at the moment, to be honest.
So play a back five, haven't they?
Yeah, so. I'm just looking at Molyneux. We beat them 2021. I think that's when Willian Jose scored. And obviously, we smashed him in the FA Cup a couple of years ago. I'd say that, actually, to be fair. We've not been awful against them. Our form against them is actually pretty good.
I've just... it's always the case when a team's at an absolute pasting and the next week they just shut the shop and grind out a 0-0 or a 1-0. We had it with Bournemouth, didn't we? Mm. When they got... Was he 7-8 at Anfield? Oh, I've just got a funny feeling about it, mate.
If you offer me now a shit ass 1-0, mate, I'll take it every
day. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't give a fuck how we win, to be honest, as long as we win. But no Holgate for that absolute shocker challenge. How Ahmed Hodzic can say it's never a red card.
It is, yeah. But
yeah, he's a bit of a twat, isn't he? Made a couple of comments, hasn't he, this season about other issues in his head anyway, not in anyone else's. But Brereton Diaz and Archer should or could both still be out. They're the two players who I would say the biggest threat. I like Brereton Diaz. I think he's done all right since he's come on loan, and Cameron Archer's a bit of a nuisance too. So everything aligns for a Wolves win, doesn't it, Dave? But it's going to be a difficult affair. I think it's going to be similar to Brentford, where they are going to park the bus, who's going to find them hard to break down. And then it's on Wolves to find an answer to that. But I feel like Brentford were fantastic out of possession, where Sheffield United, I'm not too sure about that nous and discipline to do that.
I think you're right there. I think although Brentford can frustrate you and sit deep in that, they've still got enough quality, like the Ivan Tonys and the other players across the pitch, where they can hurt you. Whereas Sheffield United, no disrespect, you know, on paper don't have that. So you would hope, you know, we played well against them last. Well, I say well, you know, we dominated the game against them last time. And had that one chance, you know, a mistake from us, and Archer puts the ball in the back of the net, and obviously a bit of a ropey penalty decision at the death as well. So yeah, these are the games that we've got to be winning if we want to take, have any chance of, you know, the slight chance of European football. We've got to be winning these football matches.
Yeah, do you think we've got a chance of Europe, mate? I know about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, the question was asked around about that, and we were same points off the relegation zone as we were off Europe, and I said we've got no chance of Europe, but then some bloke said we've got no chance of being relegated, so why is Europe off the cards? And to be fair, he was right, but I still just don't think...
I think if you look at it right now, so we've got 3 points between us and Brighton. So it's doable.
I think Brighton are going to go on a bit of a run now.
So these are the games you got to beat. But unfortunately, although we're 3 points, there's four other teams above us. So, you know, I think we're very safe 11th upwards, because, you know, we're 6 points away from 12 as well. I think top half would be an unbelievable season for Wolves, regardless. West Ham, I think, are on a little bit of a downward spiral. Newcastle are a bit patchy on form. But, you know, it's just the consistency. If Wolves can hit a bit of consistency, they've got a chance. But there's three or four very good teams ahead of us still fighting for the same place, really. So it was never the aim. So if we get it, fantastic, unbelievable. But I don't think it's going to be the be-all and end-all.
I just think we'll run out of a bit of steam, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just think the squad's so small.
If we can get to a point, maybe, in going into, like, the last four or five games, you know, maybe in, you know, 6 or 7 weeks' time, where we're still within touching distance, maybe 3 to 5 points away from it, and then we get our full squad back, full fitness, we've got every chance.
I know the last few games of the season, like, Brighton played, like, Newcastle, Villa, and Man United.
Wow. Yeah.
So I think that's our last three games.
And the FA Cup as well. FA Cup could go in our favour. So
Well, if Liverpool win the Carabao Cup, then it looks like eighth place would be Conference League, doesn't it? I think that's what it is.
Yeah, five, six. Yeah, it could be coefficients.
And if Man City win the Champions League as well, then yeah, it's going to go in Wolves' favour. So I just don't think it's going to happen personally. I think
think there's too much quality ahead of us at the moment, but regardless, we can dream.
Yeah, you've got to beat those teams in and around you as well, haven't you?
I'll just look at the table. I think we're comfortably better than absolutely everybody below us in the league table. And that, obviously that's sort of how the league works, but
I think you've got to get to Newcastle and win. I think you've got to
You've got to go there. Something you basically, for us to have any chance, you've got to be taking points away from those teams in and around us.
Yeah,
I think West Ham, like I said, West Ham are awful form at the moment. I think they've lost their last three.
But we made them look like fucking Brazil.
Yeah,
and they're crap.
So, and our goal difference is okay, but not great compared to those other teams going through it as well. So,
wait, West Ham fans at the minute are just in turmoil, aren't they? With Moyes and whatnot. They seem to have like a brilliant start to the season, but have fallen off completely. Considering they're still like what seventh? Well, are they seventh at the minute?
At ninth, they are now.
Ninth.
Only 2 points behind seventh. But if it that's the job Lopetegui's got his eyes on, guaranteed. By the way, so if things carry on going like the way they are, and Moyes does get the sack, I think Lopetegui could get that job.
Well, he turned down the Palace job because he wanted a more ambitious project. Just rearranging my mic. I think he needs a fucking bit of a reality check, if I'm honest. Do you think that West Ham could go in for O'Neill if they got rid of Moyes? I don't think they will get rid of Moyes anyway.
Possibly. I think they could.
Do you think he'd go?
I don't know. I think it's closer to his family. Obviously, an ex-player there as well.
He's a West Ham fan, I think.
Yeah. The grass isn't always greener, though, is it? And I think
no, it's not.
He's got to realise that pretty quickly.
If they're looking for a manager in the summer, I think he could use, and if he doesn't really want to go, he could use it as a bargaining tool with the board to say, look, West Ham are in for me, back me or I'm off. Because I feel like he was a bit pissed off in January with the goalposts being moved, because he was really confident. Then all of a sudden he was confident about one, then he's confident about two, and then none at all. I just think that the club have fobbed him off a little bit. If I'm honest, I don't think there was any money there to spend.
Well, if he gets to the end of this season with a top half finish, I think he's got enough credit in the bank that he can walk into a lot of other Premier League jobs anyway. So the ball's in his court, really, I think. So the club have got to back him, really, or at least have a pretty good plan in place to say, you know, this is what we're going to do.
Not move the goalposts. Look, I get that situations change, but I feel like from the interviews that he did in January, that's what happened. There's just no money. It's hard to bring players in when you've got no money to spend, but that's on Fosun. Let's just touch on the horrific news, Dave, that when it broke yesterday, we were all hoping it wasn't the case, that Sasha Kalajdzic has suffered another cruciate ligament injury. His third cruciate injury in 5 years, I think. Came off after 8 minutes. It's a shocker, isn't it, mate? You got to feel for him because, again, to come back from that, I've come back from it myself, and I'm not a professional sportsman, but it's hard. It's hard work, and especially when it's so debilitating too. It's just become a new father. Well, just become a father. It's a shitter for him, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crap. Obviously, pretty genuine, you know, nice guy as well. Worked really hard. You know, obviously wanted to go out and play football, which I completely understand as well. But, you know, ultimately he's won us a couple of football matches this year. Would have been nice to either have him or Fabio Silva still at the club around, I think, especially at this time. But, you know, they both wanted to go and play their own game and play some football. And for Sasha, the main reason was to try and get in the Euro squad for the summer. And, you know, that's another big international tournament for him gone, you would assume now. I don't think he's going to be back and ready for the summer. So, yeah, really, really, really bad for him. And, you know, just fingers crossed he can come back from it, because it's not a nice injury at all.
Especially that I think it's the same knee as well. I think questions have got to be asked around whether he would continue, mate, because it's got to be something wrong with his body breaking down. I mean, I'm not a strength and conditioning coach, but he's either that or he's done something previous. Previous life, because it's just, it must be so, if it is luck, then my God, his luck is out.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I'm wrong. Apparently, he'd had his leg was strapped up at the start of the game. I don't know how true that is.
That was the same for when he did the injury at Wolves.
Oh, I can't see the strap on unless there was a. unless I took it off when he was having treatment. But Wolves. It'll be interesting to see if he comes back to the Wolves or what happens with it. But yeah, really disappointing news anyway.
I think, in terms of whilst Gary O'Neill still had the door was firmly shut after the comments he made about him, Sasha wouldn't have played.
Depends how bad it is, but what he's one that he had for us was like nearly 12 months. It took him to come back from that 10 months. So if it's the same again,
you're looking 8 months minimum, really.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're looking start of a new season again. You've got, you know, he might not play first team again until the start of next year, really, at a decent level.
It's not going to be. It's not decided whether he's going to come back for his treatment or have it there. But it, I mean, it makes sense for him to.
Wolves aren't. He's got zero value in terms of, you know, which clubs.
You couldn't give him away at the minute.
No.
But he's still good. He's a Wolves player, so there's no point in being treated by Frankfurt, because whilst his rehabilitation goes on, he won't be a Frankfurt player.
For them as well, they won't want to pay the wages and stuff. They might have to pay like a termination fee or something like that. But
no, the insurance will cover that, because these things do happen. But he's going to have to, I'd imagine he comes back to Wolves and does his rehabilitation there, which is shit for him and his family, because they've just moved over there. They've had the baby and now they've got to move back.
Still got a cafe here in Wolverhampton, to be fair.
It's real sad news, but I think from like a selfish point of view for the club, it's let's hope they took out some insurance. Because it's looking like a bit of a tax write-off at the minute. questions then, Dave, before we close the show. So Harry Gill, friend of the pod, has asked if Gary O'Neill is just as important as some of the key players that we have.
Yeah, I think he's got to be. I think you look at, you know, a big group of this squad have been part of the squad under previous regimes, you know, Lopetegui, Lage, even Nuno, some of them. So, and some of these players, especially the forward players, we weren't getting the tune out of them that we are now. So I think Garon has got to take credit. You know, he's got things wrong this season, but he's got a hell of a lot right as well. And I think he deserves that credit. And I think he's as important. He could go tomorrow, and I think you'd struggle to find a coach at the moment that's going to continue and improve what Wolves have done so far this season.
I think as well, like João Gomes' comments from the weekend, basically saying like everything in my game now, in terms of improvements, I put down to Gary O'Neill, which I think speaks, you know, a hell of a lot of about Gary O'Neill and the changes he's implemented with the squad. So I would agree. I think Hobbs is really important. It'd be nice if the club could give him some money to spend, and it'd be nice if Matt Hobbs could say to Gary O'Neill, "We've got some money to spend," and see what they could do together. But I agree. Someone else has asked, do you think we have a realistic chance of getting Europa Conference League? Adding to that, if we do end up getting in Europe, what players do you think we'll need to be able to cope with next season? It's a lot of what if-ery, isn't it? But you need to increase the size of the squad, because there's no way that this current squad is big enough for a European competition as well.
I don't think you're a million miles away, though. I mean, obviously, we've already had a discussion in regards to whether we think we will or won't get the conference or Europe.
You'd have Mosquera and Chiquinho back in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, Mosquera, Chiquinho. I think you still got to add at least one or two forward players. You've definitely got to bring in a striker. I don't think you're a million miles away. You probably bring in, you know, you've got four good central midfielders. Maybe, you know, you'd keep Hodge around or whatever. I don't think you're a million miles away. Obviously, you'd want to improve on what we've got for sure. You know, you want better players. But I think squad size, you're not a million miles away from it.
Mm. Do you think if we got into Europa Conference League, then Neto would stay? I don't.
Depends what's on the table. It depends
if Wolves want him to stay, if the fees are like...
Well, that's what I mean, yeah. I don't think he'd be devastated if he had to stay, but I think if there's Champions League clubs sniffing around or clubs going for titles, then, you know...
Nate has asked around, with reports already surfacing about the summer and needing to sell Neto, sell to buy, etc. Do you think Gary will be backed in the summer to build the squad with his vision, or will Fosun find excuses again? I think it purely dependent on how much they get for they raise through player sales, which is always... I think you can have an initial kind of inkling of, okay, this player is going to go there for that much, so you can try and do a bit of business. But if you're waiting to sell someone for them to buy someone, I think it's a little bit riskier.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's going to be what happens, really. You know, whatever revenue you create from sales is what most, not all, but a lot of that will be available for purchases, you'd assume. But what... It's been pretty clear over the last two or three years that Wolves have wanted to do that anyway. Mm. I think people have just tried to forget that fact. And I think Fosun almost set themselves a standard when they came in the first two or three years that they were just spending a lot of money, to get us into the position that we are in. But they made it clear over the last couple of years that's what they wanted to do. Obviously, COVID hadn't helped our momentum as a club. And then last year we had to spend, otherwise I think Fosun realised how much trouble that we were in. I don't think there'll be excuses. I think whatever, you know, is said is the truth, but I think we will have to rely on players leaving the club to make more money, to bring more in.
And Mars Music Show is his weekly segment. As good as Neto is, I'm starting to get a bit frustrated with what seems to be his ego on the pitch. He's constantly putting his arms up in the air towards teammates and not tracking back after he loses the ball. Have you noticed this? Do you think paper talk is getting to him? Gary O'Neill said something at the weekend about him being a wonderful player, even though he hates it when I try and ask him to work harder. So I've noticed it as well. I think he chucks his dolls out of the pram quite a lot on the pitch when things aren't going his way, but I suppose he's one of those players that you afford that luxury when he does what he does.
Yeah.
I've seen it go to anyone's head, though, wouldn't it? Like, if the biggest fireplace company in the world were linked with you, Dave, I'm sure you'd be a bit like to your dad, and fuck off, I'm having an hour for my lunch instead of half an hour. Wouldn't you?
I've noticed it a little bit more. I think it's something that he still did quite often, but I think he's just starting to notice things more. I think more eyes are on him, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
Now. So, yeah, I think, like you said, I ain't bothered whether he flips, you know, tells the ref to do one or flicks the V's at Gary O'Neill if he scores a couple of goals at the end of the day. I ain't bothered. So, yeah, as long as he's putting the work right in and he's not costing us results for pure stupidity or whatever, then I'm not bothered.
Yeah. FCT Lewis asked, how long before someone takes the PE teacher off our hands? He has put crying emojis, but... I feel like he's a little bit of a media darling anyway, Gary O'Neill. I think he did a great job at Bournemouth last season. Them sacking him, I think a lot of English pundits felt sorry for him. And he's doing a really good job at Wolves. Controversially, I think that with the squad we've got, we're probably performing in and around where we should be. I don't know if you agree, Dave.
I would agree.
But it's been a miraculous change from last season. It's such more of a better team to watch. And that is down to him. But I think that most kind of any job for like a West Ham or, you know, a club who's, I don't know, if Spurs were to sack Ange or whatnot, or Ange went to, I don't know, where would Ange go? Liverpool. I think that some pundits would be putting Gary O'Neill as a front runner in there, but I don't particularly see West Ham as a massive step up, if I'm honest. I think it is a step up, but I don't think it's that great of a step up.
No, the thing with the West Ham thing is it's just location. You might get a little bit more money to play with, but it's a very difficult, well, I suppose all football fan bases are quite difficult to control sometimes. You know, we're all very, very fickle, but it'd be, like I said earlier, the grass isn't always greener for him. I think it'd be a risk for him and his career. The only other thing is, and I think it's probably still too early for him, and we've mentioned it before, the England job as well. I think you would probably have an inkling of that, though, very, very early on into the Euros campaign.
You know, I think Eddie Howe will have that, mate.
Yeah, personally. Well, I think he's probably a more realistic option anyway. He's managed at the top level for a much longer period of time. So, I think unless Wolves have literally said, look, we're not spending any money this summer, I think he'll stick around.
Yeah, it's on a 3-year deal as well, isn't he? So, Simo, do you think if Chelsea win the League Cup, that would kill European dreams? I think if they won the League Cup, then I have to double check this, that seventh place would be Conference League. If they win it, I think eighth place. So I can't see Wolves finishing seventh, can you?
I don't know. Like I say, it's possible, but I just think there's too many teams ahead of us with too much quality at the moment.
And finally, from George Sayle, he said, thoughts on having a Ghanaian icon in the squad for another 4 years? Tom King with another, was it a 3-year deal?
3.5-year deal, man, yeah.
3.5-year deal, man. That geezer's got the best life ever.
I can't quite believe it. It's weird. Like, for him and his career, personally, unless he's on, like, $2,000 a week.
Nah, he'd be on more than that, but... He's got to be on like $5,000 or $6,000 a week.
Yeah, even that's very low for a Premier League footballer.
But it's not low for someone doing co-coms, mate.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But why have Wolves spent that on him? Unless there's a plan to, and why would he sign it? Because surely, well, I suppose that money is probably more than what he would make playing first team.
1,000,000%. For him, he's laughing. He's earning more money than he probably ever would. All right, I get it. He's not playing, but. He just trains every day, collects his paycheck, and then does a bit of.
The thing is, they reckon that he's good behind the scenes, which is good. Like, obviously, a big boost. But I heard previously that he was a cock.
Like, well, you heard that about Lamina as well.
Yeah, but Lamina, I suppose. Yeah, but I heard I don't know. Things change. I think this atmosphere is good anyway. So. That's obviously what they wanted to, you know, try and integrate. So,
well, when we did the Sace interview, he hammered home the importance of having real big characters behind the scenes, and it's one of those things that you can't really put a price on, I suppose. So, I mean, if that's going to be one of the reasons, isn't it? He's not going to be. I know Matt Hobbs said he pushes Sarr in training, but there's absolutely no way that he's pushing Sarr in training to take his number one spot. So. I think if they'd give him another year and a half, I wouldn't have batted an eyelid, but 3.5-year deal seems mad, but all his Christmases have come at once. But fair play to him. Good gig if you can get it, mate. Most expensive co-coms ever. More than Peter Drury. that's all we've got time for this week. Enjoyed that, mate. Enjoyed that. I know what's going to happen. Yep. The next podcast will be us moaning about why we haven't beat Sheffield United.
We'll be all right.
Europe's off. If we do win it the weekend, though, mate, Europe is. You're going to get that passport dusted off.
It's actually with HM, whoever does it at the moment, actually being renewed. And no lie, it's actually.
Is that for any particular? You got your eye on anything or?
No, I'm going to Budapest on a stag do. So
nice.
And then now I'm going to Budapest in August when we play him in the qualifiers for the Conference League as well.
Don't even know where the team is in Budapest.
I don't know. I think it's like, isn't it like nearby? Is it Ferencváros? Was it
Ferencváros? Yeah. Yeah. I think so. That stadium in Budapest though is unbelievable. It's huge. Have you seen it? Nah. I think it's a Puskás Arena. It's absolutely massive.
But
They were building it when I went last.
I was obviously Honved, and then there's that Ferenc.
Honved are like third division, aren't they? Something.
It'd be class if we got them in Europe, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't think the European powerhouses they once were, but
yeah.
That's all this week. Where can people find you if they want to follow you, Dave?
At Dave as a Party on Instagram and Twitter.
Talking Wolves across all socials. Let us know in the comments section down below if you've enjoyed the podcast. If you are listening on Apple or Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review. It really does help us out. And until next time, take care. Have a wonderful week. And hopefully we're chewing the fat over a 4-0 win against Sheffield United. But I wouldn't be so sure. Football is a wonderful game. But yeah, until next time, take care and have a good week all.